Before we begin, permit me to thank those of you who have responded already to our encouragement to join us on our No Retreat Advancing the Gospel Together Spring Matching Gift Campaign. Wow, that's a long title, but wow, are we glad that so many of you have already said we would like to support a ministry that will not retreat, that will proclaim the gospel rightly and loudly. And they will do it all in service to the local church. We have huge plans coming up for the next year. And I would like to again encourage those of you who have not yet become a gospel partner, would you please consider joining us? Your gift will be doubled. It is our spring matching gift campaign, which means your gift will go a very long way. And we will be very grateful, and we will never stop proclaiming the gospel. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
From the lesser to the greater. This is Wretched Radio. Granted, these might be my personal peccadilloes, but methinks they are more than peeves. They are genuine complaints. Well, at least the greater one is. What is the greater lament that I have that just I think that we need to recognize as evangelicals is a major problem? We don't preach the gospel rightly. Even on Easter, as I fear you're about to hear. But my lesser peeve is a low view of what it is that we do on Sunday morning. We are gathered to do what? To glorify God. How do we do that? With regulated elements, with the prescription that God has given for worship. I, God, the object of your worship, want you to worship thusly, and he gives us those elements: Bible reading, prayer, worship, preaching, the Lord's table. These are elements that are non-negotiable. And I fear in our current culture, we've forgotten what each of these elements are. They're an offering to God. And the sermon, at least I think mostly among evangelicals, most would agree that would be the highlight element of the church service. So my question and my minor, lesser peeve is, why do we treat it so casually and inject ourselves into what is supposed to be worship of the triune God? A case in point, let me take you to a church where they typically do some sort of wacky Christmas pageant based on a Bruce Willis movie, because they're current, contemporary, and hip. They have put on a massive spectacle. It's a huge multi-campus church. And it is yet another example. This happens to be from Easter Sunday. Another example of approaching church and the liturgical elements, the regulated elements that God himself has prescribed, so casually.
Oh, what is up, Church by the Glaze?
Okay, three pet peeves. hey, church. And why is everybody applauding so raucously for the entrance of the pastor? And why is it that this particular preacher, like so many, feels the need to talk about himself?
I'll begin the talk this way. My doctor is making me do cardio now. I got to do cardio. I like to lift weights.
Anybody curious about what this has to do with Easter? Jesus Christ rising indeed? Or with his text, frankly, which is John 11. Maybe that's the segue. Oh, my hell. I got to keep myself healthy or I could be like Lazarus. Oh, I see what he did right there. Me. Talking about self. Now, the methodology of introducing the sermon with kind of casual talk and just being chumps with people. The thinking behind this methodology is that the individual, the pastor, becomes relatable. They're not too lofty. They're not just standing in a pulpit declaring the word of God. I just said that sentence out loud. That's the critique. You can't just stand there and declare that this is what God has to say, which is exactly what I thought preaching was. No, instead, you have to regale people with stories or with a really lame joke before you start the sermon. And this is a peeve of mine because I don't think any of this has anything to do with the worship of our triune God.
But Dr. Chin said, Dave, you got to add more cardio to your workout routine, take care of the heart. And so I'm doing it because Dr. Jessica is a very good doctor. So I'm doing it.
Did he say Dr. Jessica?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
So at my gym, there's a whole row at the Athletic Factor of elliptical machines. There's 13. I counted how many. So I'm doing cardio on the elliptical, not my favorite thing. And I pick because there's no one in the gym. It's quiet time, mid-afternoon.
This guy talks, doesn't he?
So I pick one, not on the very edge, but like if you're counting like machine number four, they're not really number. I'm there doing my thing and a new guy walks in the gym. I kind of know most of the regular. A new guy walks in. He's going to do cardio as well. Awesome. But
Jimmy, isn't it great to know the pastor? Now I can relax and actually take in the sermon. Because I just relate to this guy because, you know, I don't like doing the elliptical either. And this is crazy. I've been on machine number four when a guy walked up.
But that guy, that guy picked the machine right next to me. There's like over a half dozen machines, nobody on. He picks, there's just two of us. Heck, that guy picks the one next to me. And that guy was one of those kind of guys. That guy, well, he works out, he makes lots of weird noises and grunts and sweats profusely. That guy is right. That guy, who's this guy? That guy right in my space, right?
It's interesting that this type of blathering happens before the sermon. And perhaps it happens before worship, but it almost seems to me, my observation in evangelicalism is that worship is treated more reverently than the sermon itself. Can you imagine? Okay, I'm going to be the worship leader. All right. So, Jimmy, you got to be prepared to whoop and holler for me.
Okay.
All right. So the countdown clock goes 3, 2, 1, and out I come.
Woo!
Yeah. Church! Glad you're feeling great, man, because I got to tell you, my lower back. You ever done that? You just went to pick something. I was picking up a hanger. Of all the crazy things, I was just picking up a hanger. I bend over, but it just goes pop. You know, you feel it, and you go, oh, no, this one's going to last a long time, but it's Saturday. The chiropractor isn't open. You ever get that feeling? you ever get that feeling? Now, here's where the clever worship leader will have enough sense to actually turn it into a segue. You ever have that feeling? You know, the feeling that so many of us have when we just feel that there's nobody to help us. So come on, church. Oh, the lights are already dim. So let's just raise our hands and start to worship. Now, if somebody started doing that, you would rightly ask the question, what do you have to do with worship? Why are you injecting yourself in this? I think that it would be more remarkable if it were during the music. Why not during the sermon?
My personal space. God, the great God of heaven, the God who made the universe with a word, the God of the Bible is a that guy kind of God.
What happened? Jimmy, can you just translate what happened?
I cannot.
I have to rewind this because I'm almost wondering, did they just somehow edit it out?
Maybe.
Because they missed something here?
That guy, who's this guy? That guy right in my space, right in my personal space.
How dare he get into your personal space? Wait a second. Your personal space, I think, begins and ends on your piece of equipment. Could be wrong. I don't think there's a rule that says every other.
God, the great God of heaven. The God who made the universe with a word, the God of the Bible is a that guy kind of God.
I'm sorry. I find that entirely mysterious and completely baffling and nonsensical. Do I care to listen to him try to unpack that? No, I don't. Instead, what I would prefer to do is to go to the very end of the sermon. Now, I grant you, I could have missed it because I frankly couldn't tolerate the entire sermon. He was preaching, presumably, on Lazarus being raised from the dead, kind of the precursor resurrection. And there is a connection between the Lazarus resurrection and Jesus' crucifixion, in that it really ignited the intensity of the persecution against Jesus. This was really the final straw, if you will, for the religious leaders. So there is a connection. Why he was preaching about it on Easter Sunday, I don't know. But I would like to fast forward into the end of it, the culmination of his sermon, where he is doing an altar call. Now, if prior to what you're about to hear, he had answered the big why question, some of this wouldn't be half bad, honestly. It really wouldn't. It wouldn't be half bad. He's clearly he's a smart fellow. I think he's misguided, but he's a smart fellow, and he can certainly talk a mile a minute. Some of it was actually quite fine. And yet, because I don't think that he answered the why question, it is almost nonsensical in that it doesn't provide the information necessary to appropriate the good stuff that he did preach. What is the why question? It's two things. It's my larger pet peeve, and it is failing to explain why we need Jesus. And I would offer to you that simply saying he died for our sins ain't enough. Why? Why did he die for our sins? Why do I need to respond in repentance and faith? It is, I believe, in my estimation, not just my personal large pet peeve. I think it's a pandemic in evangelical Christianity that we aren't explaining the why we need Jesus. Next on Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match Campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria
was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Feel free to disagree. This is Wretched Radio, but do so at your own peril, because don't forget I'm a talk show host, and we, as Michael Knowles, you never back down, even though what you said about a man's wife was horrific and entirely offensive. Can't back down and say, oops, I didn't have all of the facts. Sorry about that. So note, if you're going to disagree, what's my peeve? It is failing to preach all of the elements needed for people to understand the necessity of Easter. And I suspect and I fear that that happened in countless churches. Now, is it conceivable that a pastor can forget an element here or there? Sure, it is. But I see regularly there are so many elements missing so consistently. I think this is a really big problem, church. Could this be why evangelical Christianity, while the conservative branch is growing, that big Eva is becoming medium Eva, and pretty soon it's going to be small Eva, because they're not preaching the gospel? And I see this constantly. All I had to do was look for an Easter service from Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This is a mega church. Now, we're going to assume that this pastor has not explained the why. The why being why we need Jesus. He will say that he died for our sins. We all affirm that. Furthermore, I'll concede some of the stuff that he said was super fine. It was actually really good. But without explaining why we need Jesus, that if you do not have your sins expiated and you are not propitiated, then you will face a furious God on Judgment Day. You will face the full fury of the Creator of the universe. It's a horrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And because he is righteous and he is holy and he is just, he will have his day in court, and he will sentence guilty criminals, and he will punish them with eternal conscious torment. That's why you need Jesus. You need to be saved from the wrath that is to come. Without Jesus Christ, you're not just without hope, because you're not going to get snuffed out. You are going to suffer torment forever, because it's exactly what you've earned for yourself. Do not trifle with Almighty God, who is rich in mercy and willing to forgive. And that's why he sent his son Jesus. Now, if he explained that and I missed it, well then, my apologies. But I don't think that that happened. Not in any significant way that would explain to the hearer, this is why you need Jesus. So here is the lengthy, this would be the altar call, if you will.
All these great scholars and preachers and dead guys who wrote books. But the best thing I think I got was from my 10th grader, who said, how cool, Dad, how cool, Zane said, how cool the guy that Jesus raised from the dead, and this big miracle, named Lazarus.
Oh boy, really? That was better than all the Puritans and dead guys you read? Really? Your teenager saying, how cool, Dad, it's Lazarus. See, Lazarus. You know what he did there?
Because the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Now, what preceded Romans chapter 10? 9 chapters explaining the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the necessity of Jesus Christ. What he said is right, but without context, without explaining the why,
We're the sequel. Jesus didn't just love Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He loves us. And the Bible, again, this is history. It is science. But it's mainly a love story. How many times does this show up? Read the whole chapter that Jesus loved them and they loved Jesus. It's by the love. He stayed. And why did he stay? And I don't know, but he shows up and he saves the day. But
no, I actually don't have any issue with this, style aside. He's talking about the love of Jesus when he saw his beloved friend Lazarus. He wept. Jesus loved them. Jesus loves his children. No argument.
But here the king of the universe weeps because he loved them in the prequel.
Now, might I add this, incidentally, as long as I'm peeving, there is a group inside of conservative evangelicalism that won't preach about that, the love of God. That too is oftentimes missing. So this isn't just a harangue against big Eva-type preachers. Conservative expositors can so often forget he did this because he loves us. That's what makes grace amazing. Sometimes our circles can fail to include elements like this.
Then he beat death in the blockbuster. But we can be the sequel today. You can come to a prayer party when I shut up in just about 90 seconds and give yourself by faith on Easter weekend to Jesus. It's a love story. I love that you say, see how much he loved him. See how much he loves us. Jesus loved the glory of heaven.
Now, I wonder if he's going to say he loved us and demonstrated by dying on a cross while we were yet sinners.
To come to earth, see how much he loves us. He went from being the maker of the universe to being a helpless baby. See how much he loves us.
Okay, this is actually pretty good oratory. I don't know if you dig the guy's style or not, but this is pretty good oratory, and it focuses on the love of God. Remember John 3:16, it is about the love of God that was the impetus for sending his son.
He lived a normal life for 30 years, having to obey his parents, learn a skill, get sick, get hurt, be mistreated. See how much he loves us. He was born into a poor family with no influence whatsoever. See how much he loves us. He spent 3 years teaching and healing people. And while some people believed and followed, others sought to trap and destroy him. See how much he loves us. He poured into 12 disciples day and night, teaching them and training them so they could carry his message into the world. But they constantly argued, they bickered, jockeyed for position, and they even denied and abandoned him when he needed them most. See how much he loves us.
If I could hear the guy. Okay, I turn it up to 1.25 speed just because. The music. Why the necessity of the music? Ah, manipulation.
And even though he never sinned and only came to do God's will, he was betrayed, falsely accused, unjustly arrested, cruelly beaten, maliciously mocked, and sentenced to die a cruel and painful death. See how much he loves us.
Did you hear the why, though? Did you hear the why? Our need for a savior.
He hung on a cross, giving his life for your sin. He refused to lash out.
Now, give his life for your sin. Why? Why? Because if you do not receive this free gift of grace, you will pay for your sins for eternity. I doubt the word hell was used. I'll be shocked if it is.
He refused to come down. He refused to fight back. Even though with one word, an angel army would have come to his defense. See how much he loves us. He cries out, why have you forsaken me? Heaven responded, it's either you for 3 days or them for eternity. And he chose to stay.
Wow, how's about that music? I'm turning it back to one speed just because it's turning into a cacophony because he talks so fast and the music is so manipulative.
See how much he loves us. For 3 days, the maker, giver, and source of life tasted death. He was cut off from God so he could be cut into love with the Father. See how much he loves us.
Did that make sense? He was cut off so that you wouldn't be cut off from the love of the Father.
And then on the third day, on Easter Sunday morning, he defeated death once and for all. He arose again. He's reigning forever now at the right hand of God, unmatched in glory, undefeated in victory. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you may be saved.
From what?
see how much he loved us.
Not bad oratory.
I don't care what part of the gospel, the prequel or the blockbuster or the sequel. It's a love story God wants to write with you. So I'm going to pray right now. The prayer partners will take their place. If you want not a religion, but a relationship, a romance with God, come find one. Now, if you don't know for certain and sure that you are a saved person.
From what?
I'm not talking about joining our church or a denomination. Who cares? I want you to join the family of God. See how much he died on that cross for you.
Why?
See how much he suffered for you.
Why?
See how much he shouldered the sin of the world for you and me.
Why?
Father God, we thank you for the Easter message, for everything after Easter, everything before Easter. You're in all of it, God. Thank you, Jesus, for how much you loved us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Was everything wrong? No. But without explaining the why, frankly, none of that to the uninitiated makes sense. Is it my pet peeve? Perhaps. But I would forward, I think it should be all of our pet peeves. This is Wretched Radio.
And it is now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The Trump administration is taking the fight for women's sports directly to the states. The Department of Education filed a Title IX discrimination complaint against Minnesota's Department of Education for allowing biological males into female locker rooms and athletic competitions. The state of Minnesota receives more than $3 billion in federal education funding annually. The Attorney General for Minnesota, that's Keith Ellison, he fired back, accusing the administration of bullying vulnerable children. However, the data tells a little bit of a different story. More than 1,900 gold medals in female events have been claimed by men, along with nearly $500,000 in prize money. In the state of Tennessee, the state Senate passed a bill which allows patients to sue doctors who coerce them into so-called gender reassignment procedures. It's Senate Bill 2031, and it creates a civil cause of action for anyone who consented to these surgeries or hormone treatments under pressure from a healthcare professional. The bill covers adults looking back, and it covers parents who were pressured into consenting on behalf of their children. Last June, the Supreme Court upheld Tennessee's ban on these procedures for minors. Now, the volunteer state is adding another layer of accountability. Also in Tennessee, the Rutherford County Library Board recently voted 8-3 to fire their library director. Luann James is her name, and she refused to relocate over 100 children's books with explicit or LGBT content to adult sections. She claims moving the books would violate American Library Association ethics and the First Amendment. The board disagreed. The Ninth Circuit has handed California a green light to discriminate against religious families. In a case brought by three homeschooling families, the court ruled that charter school independent study programs count as public school programs, meaning the state can reject any curriculum with religious content. One family was told they couldn't buy math books from Bob Jones University Press. Another couldn't use works by Jonathan Edwards to teach colonial American history. Five dissenting judges called it state-sponsored religious discrimination, with one judge asking whether anyone really believes parents teaching their own children in their own home are public school teachers. The families plan to appeal to the Supreme Court, which has repeatedly ruled that religious families can't be excluded from public benefits. And the city of Houston managed to call Good Friday a spring holiday in a now deleted social media post while warmly celebrating a Muslim holiday by name just days earlier. One congressman called the city out, reminding them that Christians were reflecting on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, not simply having a generic seasonal break. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. the Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's see if the president did better, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. The president of the United States delivered an Easter message. Let's apply the same standard that we have been applying to Big Eva when it comes to proclaiming the Easter message. Are all of the elements needed inside of that presentation sufficient for somebody to understand the necessity of Resurrection Sunday, that if we don't have a Savior, we face an angry God? It's 1 minute and 47 seconds long, which I did the math on this. It's actually a minute and 47 seconds longer than King Charles' Easter address, because he didn't do one. Had the time for Ramadan, and just couldn't find the time, apparently, to deliver an Easter message. And while I know a lot of Anglicans in particular are really disappointed, first of all, they should be far more furious about their new archbishop. But I say it's a good thing, because last year when Prince Charles talked about Easter, it was a dog's breakfast. It was just an entirely ecumenical affair. I think I've got some of the lingo from... Yep, I got it right here. Hold on a second. Let me find him. The love he showed. That's my Prince Charles impersonation. The love he showed when he walked the earth reflected the Jewish ethic of caring for the stranger and those in need, a deep human instinct echoed in Islam and other religious traditions and in the hearts of all who seek the good of others. In other words, he basically put Christianity in the exact same camp as every other religious system, at least those that have some form of social gospel. So I know, my Anglican friends, you might be disappointed that the head of the Anglican Communion didn't deliver an Easter message. I say good, because then he couldn't speak anything heretical. Let's hear how the president of the U.S. did, shall we?
This Holy Week, I'm proud to join with Christians across the country and around the world to celebrate the most glorious miracle in all of time, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
In his life, Christ displayed true humility. In his death, he modeled true love. And in his resurrection from the tomb, he proved that even death itself will not silence those who place their trust in Almighty God.
Wow. I mean, nothing wrong with it's quite good. Here's what I'm going to be critical of. Is his Easter message complete? So far, Jimmy, were you kind of surprised at this?
Yeah, maybe.
A little bit. I don't know who wrote it for him, but okay.
As it says in Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, for whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Now, that is a great verse, but has he explained why we need that? No. Now, if he would read further down to say John 3:36, he would understand, that if you do not have the son's forgiveness, you're in hot water. That is the element that is so often missing. We assume people know what we're talking about, but they don't.
Eternal life, such beautiful words. This Easter, millions of Christians all over the globe will be reminded that because of what Jesus did on the cross, all of us can live every day with hope in God's promise, knowing that in the end, evil and wickedness will not prevail.
Now, yes, I'm listening for the explanation why. The character and the nature of God.
In this spirit of joy and renewal this Easter, we also celebrate the extraordinary resurrection of faith and religion in America. As I have often said, to be a great nation, you must have religion and you must have God. In churches across the nation on Sunday, the pews will be fuller, younger, and more faithful than they have at any time in many, many years. Religion is growing again in our country for the first time in decades. Happy Easter to all. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. Our country is doing so well, like never before. Thank you.
Now, I suspect somebody, perhaps you are getting a little bit agitated with me. That isn't uncommon. But that was lovely. Everything he said was right. My point is, and I didn't expect the president of the United States to present a complete gospel message. It is for us to start identifying when somebody starts speaking about the gospel, are they saying everything that is necessary for it to make sense? Could this be one of the reasons why we have produced so many false converts that we ask yourself the question, when you hear the gospel proclaimed, do you ever hear the preacher or the evangelist talking about the wrath of God? That if you do not turn from your wicked ways, you will be consumed by him for eternity. I know that lingo is not politically correct anymore, but it is biblical lingo, and it is the information that is necessary for somebody to understand the need for Jesus. And when we remove the preaching about wrath and judgment and hell, what have you got? A gutless gospel. There's nothing to it. So you have to replace it with life enhancement schemes. So come to Jesus and hey, you know, you'll just be a part of a love story and he just ooey gooey loves you. And how's about the love of God? And you want to feel his warm embrace and you want your kids to behave and you want to make more money and you want to be more successful and you want your marriage to be happy. That's not the gospel. Those aren't even the promises of the gospel. Those aren't even warm, frankly. The promise of the gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved from God. So forgive me for apparently picking on the president of the United States. What he said there was better than most, frankly. But I'm simply pointing out our need for making sure that all of the information necessary is contained inside of our gospel presentations. Now, in case you're not agitated with me, let me just play this clip from Keith Foskey. No intro needed. It's kind of self-explanatory. If denominations made Easter invitation videos, they might sound a little something, man, like this.
Hey, everybody, we want to welcome you to come and worship with us at Generic Baptist Church this coming Easter Sunday. And since we know this is a time of year when many of you will have family and friends who don't normally come to church, we're promising Safe Sermon Sunday, where I promise there will be no mention of hell, of sin, of the rapture, or anything to do with the Jews.
But he did make my point. Nothing about sin, nothing about wrath.
Because the last thing we want to do is offend your visitors. And the most important thing to us is that we get them to come back and visit again before Christmas.
We would like to welcome you to join us this coming weekend at No Judgment United Methodist Church. We're especially excited to begin using our new privilege cards to ensure that everyone who has any level of intersectional disadvantage is allowed to speak freely and first during our time of resurrection experience sharing. Because we know the resurrection is not a literal historical event, but instead it's something that happens inside of each of us as we break free of the heteronormative stereotypes that have been thrust upon us by the evil patriarchy.
James Tallarico's church could have used that message for Christmas. Perfect. Spot on.
And you can be sure that all heterosexual white men will remain absolutely silent because none of them show up to our services anyway.
I'd like to welcome you to come join us this Lord's Day at Superior Theology Presbyterian Church. PCA, not PCUSA. At Superior Theology PCA, we don't celebrate a Hallmark liturgy. So this Lord's Day, we'll be doing the same thing we do every Lord's Day, which is celebrating in word and sacrament. But after the service, we're also going to be hosting a shared meal together, which we call Pot Providence, because there's no luck in Calvinism. Then all of our ladies are going to gather together to sit and discuss homeschooling strategies, while the men will retire to the pastor's study to debate the finer points of theology over pipes and cigars.
Now, Keith, You just went after our Presbyterian brothers with a big cigar in his hand, by the way, and a bow tie and a sweater vest. You better go after the conservative Baptists.
And probably some whiskey.
Hey guys, it's Pastor Chad, and I want to welcome you to come visit us this Easter weekend at the Big Eva Multiplex Mega Church and Mini Mall. We'd love to have you at one of our 27 different services spread across our 9 campuses. We're going to be hiding over 1 trillion Easter eggs for all the kiddos to search for while our praise team gives a live reenactment of the Last Supper while sitting on Harley-Davidson motorcycles. Also this year, we're going to be hosting Easter escape rooms where you and your friends are going to be trapped inside of a tomb with Roman guards standing outside. Because if you love Jesus, you're going to have escape rooms at your church on Easter.
I would like to say that's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard being president in Easter service, but that would be a lie. And ain't that a shame? We'll see if Keith Foskey gets to making fun of me. You better, Keith. You better be an equal opportunity offender. Lutrons are next. This is Wretched Radio.
Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe, but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news, Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource on the Shoulders of Giants takes you across 6 countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the Reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. You'll see the stake where Jan Hus was burned to death, the prison where William Tyndale translated scripture, the very courtroom where John Wycliffe was called monstrously wicked. You'll visit Martin Luther's home, the field where George Whitefield preached to 30,000 people without a microphone, and the outdoor pulpit of the thundering Scot himself, John Knox. These people were too good for this world, and their lives will challenge you to be bolder than ever before. On the Shoulders of Giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Seriously, I mean it. Thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at Fortis Institute, not just with Wretched Radio, but with all of our other content that we're producing on a daily basis. Whatever keeps you coming back and showing up, we don't take that lightly. There is a reality about all of this, and that's that producing daily radio like Wretched takes resources. It takes studio time, equipment, staff, distribution, and it all adds up. And the reason that we are able to continue doing this at the level that we've been doing it is because of our gospel partners. Men and women just like you who have linked arms with us and give to this ministry so that we can stay on the air and reach more people in more places all over the world. And so if our ministry has ever been a source of encouragement for you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the answers to all of the questions that you likely have at fortisinstitute.org right now. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually. And eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Books of the Bible. Mark was a follower of Christ, traveling companion of Paul, an associate of Peter. His gospel presents Jesus as the Son of God. Here, Jesus is the perfect example of self-sacrifice, the suffering servant who died as a ransom for our sins. When you suffer for obedience to Christ, do not be ashamed, for Christ suffered and died for our disobedience.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We'd like to invite you to our Easter Vigil this coming Holy Saturday at Wittenberg Lutheran Church. Do you want a church that feels Roman Catholic, but you'll still be able to affirm against the papacy? Then we're the church for you.
Can you affirm against the papers? How does... Not exactly sure. This is Wretched Radio. Keith Foskey poking a little fun at, well, pretty much everybody. I hope us too, as he presents a kind of a montage video of denominations if they had made an Easter service invitation video.
Because if you're wanting a true liturgical experience, but also to remain thoroughly Protestant, it's either us or it's the Church of England. And have you seen the lady running that place recently? It's a mess. You're welcome to come and visit us at Unbroken Apostolic Succession Eastern Orthodox Church this coming Sunday. But not because of Easter, for we celebrate Pascha, and we do it on the correct day, which this year is not April 5th, but is April 12th. So if you want to be part of the true church that Jesus founded, that's been doing it right for 2,000 years and has never changed, then come and visit us. I can't believe you would want to go anywhere else.
Well, might.
Do you love the King James Bible and know that Easter is nothing but a mixture of Roman Catholic mysticism and pagan feminist mythology? Then come visit us at No Nonsense Independent Baptist Church. We don't do eggs and we don't do bunnies, but what we do is these and thous and Southern gospel music and old-time religion. You don't have to worry about wondering whether or not we like you, because we'll sure enough let you know if we don't. Especially if any of you women come in wearing pants, because you can be certain we're going to tell you to take your NIV Bible, put it back in your Easter basket, and head on down the road. Hey.
That's accurate.
Well, let's just hope that every Presbyterian, Independent Fundamentalist, Baptist, and Lutheran is in a good mood today.
Everybody, we want to invite you to Risen Hands Pentecostal Church for our special high-energy Holy Ghost anointed worship celebration this coming Easter Sunday. We're expecting healings and miracles and tongues to fill the room. And each person who visits will also be getting a free can of social media influencer Bryce Crawford's Praise Energy Drink, which was prayed over by his team before it ever left the factory. It's energy with a higher purpose.
Now that's kind of snappy. This is, did I mention Wretched Radio, an equal opportunity offender? Except Keith, you left us out. How might we write a parody invitation video from those of us who are expositional? It might sound, man, a little something like this. Salutations. If you're looking for a church that wrings the meaning out of every single word, and I mean every word, that includes prepositional phrases, that includes definite articles, it includes indefinite articles. We will drill down to the meaning of every single word. You'll hear the root, you'll hear the syntax. We'll even decline some of the nouns for you just to demonstrate we know Greek. Will your head be full? Absolutely it will. Will you be stirred to love the Savior more? Well, you're going to have to look elsewhere for that, because we are expositional expository church. Thank you very much. How'd I do, Jimmy?
Is that redundant?
Well, that's my point. You need to make sure that it's redundant. All right. Now, just in case you haven't been personally offended, this might just offend you generally. Jimmy, I'm going to let you describe. This is a ad that was sent out from a church right down the street from us here at Fortis Institute. Jimmy, what is the big image in the middle? Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it looks like the Playboy logo.
That's the Playboy bunny.
Yep.
Right there, which apparently is still a logo that gets used. Now, can you read the line underneath it? So this is just to give you the full picture here. It's like a playing card. It's the ace, but instead the A stands for the name of the church. And then it's got the big Easter bunny head in the middle. And underneath it says, can you read that, Jimmy?
Get some action this Easter.
Yeah. See what they did right there? The Easter bunny, the Playboy bunny, get some action this year. Because action's the name of the church. See what?
I know that place.
Do you?
That's the one last year. Do you remember?
Oh, is that with the pot in the
car? Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, such silliness. Here's what it says. This Sunday is Easter. Breakfast starts at 9. Service starts at 10. We had a brunch on Easter Sunday. Oh, was it good? I particularly enjoyed the homemade quiche with sautéed onions, Gruyere cheese, and shallots made by Mrs. Friel. It was the best thing there. I was wise enough to say it was delicious. People making homemade food and everybody just so loving and gathering around food before an Easter worship service. Except you know what? There's a little tip for you, Pastor. If you're going to do an Easter brunch and it's going to be before the church service, you better bring some heat because everybody's going to be logy. Just full of egg bake and different casseroles. This Sunday is Easter. Roll in early, grab some food, and get ready for a great morning. And don't come alone. Invite somebody to sit with you. Get some action this Easter. Now, this is inexcusable. This is entirely unacceptable from any sort of Christian standpoint. And yet it meets at the gym at the high school. I'll bet it's growing. Now, hate to say it because you don't want any sort of scandal like this, but just wait. It's probably just a matter of time because these types of things can only get worse. You only have to get more sensational. You can only go about staying in existence if you continue to tickle the ears. And just like any ear tickling, the intensity must increase. Otherwise, it doesn't tickle anymore. And that is why preaching that isn't focused on Christ will inevitably stray and get increasingly either watered down or sensationalistic because you have to do something. What you win them with, you must keep them with. There's another inexcusable Easter event. It was Good Friday, Minneapolis. It was a pilgrimage, community members marking Good Friday by visiting the locations of what they call modern-day crucifixions. If we can't ever have righteous indignation now, they invited all these folks to take a pilgrimage to sites of what they call crucifixion, akin to Jesus' crucifixion, said a participant. We think of the connection between Christ and the folks who have been victims of summary execution. Who are those people? Well, George Floyd, he would be one of them, of course. And then Rene Good, who was killed in January when she was just minding her own beeswax, saying polite things to the police officers on her way to the park to walk the dog? No. Here's the difference between those people and Jesus. Jesus was innocent. Jesus wasn't breaking laws. Not to mention, to compare any human being to Jesus Christ, honestly, I can almost say, I think pretty confidently, is blasphemous. Did something. Just speaking of comparisons, I asked the AI machine, our Easter text from 1 Peter. It was perfect. It was one of those instances, Pastor, you can relate to this. Christmas is coming, Easter is coming, and the text for that day happens to be perfect for Easter. Well, that was the case for me because Peter gives the believers in Turkey, northern Turkey, what I counted as 8 titles. You're our chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, different from holy priesthood in chapter 2, verse 5, but you're a royal priesthood. You're God's own possession. You've received mercy. You're children of light. All of these great titles that are provided courtesy of King Jesus Christ. Now, the trick in a message like that is to make sure that you don't focus so much on the gifts. And wow, you get to be called all these things. You're a royal priest. You get to be called all these things. Got to be careful with that because it's not about the gifts. It's about the giver. How amazing is Jesus that he has afforded us those titles, that he has done those great things for us. And so to demonstrate his benevolence, I actually went to the AI machine, Jimmy, and I asked it, Name a king, any place in human history who is known primarily for their benevolence. And the AI machine actually said there aren't any.
Wow.
Now, they, of course, forgot about King Jesus, the most benevolent and kind, demonstrated by dying on a cross while we were yet sinners, facing the wrath of God, hostile in our mind through wicked works, his wrath abiding upon us. But it listed, it said, but well, here's some that were like not totally horrible. And it was into like Marcus Aurelius. He did some nice things like legal reform. And he tried to limit excessive cruelty. Note, limit excessive cruelty. It doesn't mean he was. In other words, no king compares to Jesus Christ. Even those who died tragically in Minneapolis. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.